This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, is
Zachary Frueling. Well, even though Suzanne has introduced today's show, I am actually the one who came up with today's topic. I recently watched the episode Tuvix, and it got me thinking, wouldn't it have been interesting if there were an alternative version of Tuvix? Two different Voyager characters that were fused together besides Tuvok and Neelix. And I just thought it would be a really interesting idea to think of which two other characters on Voyager have enough tension with each other that it would be really interesting to fuse them together. Like, Tuvok and Neelix have a lot of dramatic tension. They spar off of each other, right? They're kind of antagonistic, even though they really do like each other. What other two characters on Voyager could we fuse together and have an equally interesting alternative Tuvix?
Well, I don't think that they need to have some sort of tension for it to be interesting. I mean, the one pairing that I thought of was Chakotay and Neelix. Right, as I call him, Chalix.
Chalix. Can we do it the other way? If it's not Chalix, it's what?
Nilote? I don't know. I'm sticking with Chalix.
Nilote? I like Nilote.
No, I'm sticking with Chalix. It's short and to the point.
You're team Chalix, I'm team Nilote.
But I thought Chakotay and Neelix would have been an interesting pairing. Because instead of having Tuvok in there, I don't see Captain Janeway being as invested in killing this character and splitting them back into two people. I could see Chalix continuing the journey with everyone and taking the place of Chakotay and Neelix, not necessarily as first officer, but possibly in a counselor situation. So you still have Chakotay's listening ear and caring demeanor. But then you also have Neelix still taking care of the kitchen. So you get the best of both worlds. And Tuvok gets to move up to first officer. So yay, Tuvok. And then perhaps, then Ayala can take over security and he'll finally get to say more than two words.
It's actually kind of hard to keep these names straight. So Chalix, right? Is that, yes. We're calling him Chalix? You raise a really interesting question. Would Captain Janeway's decision have been affected by which two people are involved? We know that Captain Janeway has a special friendship with Tuvok. We know she has a special relationship with Chakotay that never really develops the way that we wish it would, but it's a special relationship nonetheless. Does the nature of the connection to the individual people involved that get fused together, would that have changed her ultimate decision one way or the other? Or is she able to kind of step back and make an objective decision regardless of which two people are being fused together? That's a really interesting question.
Well, I really think that's why she terminated Tuvix, because she wanted Tuvok back. And she might have been a little afraid of Tuvok's wife when they get back to the Alpha Quadrant, and she has to explain, yeah, here's your husband, kind of.
So running with this idea of Chalix, which is a really interesting idea, it's not one of the pairs I had imagined, and so I think that's really interesting that you came up with a different one than I came up with. But what personality traits would come to the forefront if we had Chakotay and Neelix merged together? I think it's easy to imagine Neelix, right? We got to see some of Neelix in Tuvix, right? So what parts of Chakotay would become most prominent in Chalix?
I already said that. His caring demeanor. He's listening. His ability to listen to people and talk to them and just his counselor-like demeanor.
And I guess his interest would be there too, right? I mean, even in Tuvix, we had Tuvix baking a... Did he bake a cake? Is that what he did? Right after.
I don't know.
No, what did he do?
I could see Chalix doing some sand paintings.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, would he still have all of Chakotay's interests and mannerisms, and would he go on vision quests, and would he do archaeology, and but in a very Neelix kind of way?
I could see him going on vision quests, but he would have to get a new animal guide because he's a completely different person now.
Do you think his animal guide would be a Talaxian fur fly?
That would be weird, but yeah, I guess it could happen.
A fur fly vision quest. I love it. I really get a kick out of the idea that Chalix's spirit guide would be a Talaxian fur fly who whispers to him at night and gives him good advice on things.
That's just a really, really odd spirit guide, but I guess it could happen.
Every spirit is equal, right?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Some people have, I mean, presumably someone has every kind of animal as their spirit guide, right? You could have the grasshopper, or you could have the fill in the blank.
I am not educated in the ways of Chakotay's people, so I'm not quite sure.
It's kind of fun to imagine visually what Chalix would look like, a fusion of Neelix and who would be.
I actually thought of who could play him.
That's what I was going to ask. Who would we cast?
And I went with Adam Beach.
Oh, I could totally see this.
I could see him, you know, representing Chakotay's features, but then also with some makeup appliances, also having Neelix in there. So, Adam Beach.
I think he has a very Neelix forehead, actually, looking at his picture right now, now that you mention it.
And he's a tremendous actor, so he could definitely pull this off.
Do you think Chalix would still get a little jealous when Q comes on board?
Mildly jealous. I could see that happening, yes. And then also mildly jealous when Tom is, you know, coming on to cast.
Yeah, it would be jealousy run rampant, right? Chalix would be jealous about Q, he'd be jealous about Tom. Chalix has some real jealousy issues.
Well, he'll have to talk to his fur fly about that, and maybe he'll get some guidance.
Fur fly therapy. fur fly therapy session. Or fur fly counseling session. So I took my first alternative Tuvix pairing in a slightly different direction. I went for B'Elanna and Seven as my first pair.
But Seven wasn't on the show then.
That's okay. These are our rules.
Oh, so there are no rules is what you're saying.
I was trying to picture in my mind what a fusion of Seven and B'Elanna would be like, and I found it remarkably difficult to picture. Not just physically, but also temperamentally, because Seven is so sort of stoic in a lot of ways. You know, she kind of keeps herself bottled up, and B'Elanna is so expressive. So what would a fusion of Seven of Nine's kind of dryness and unflappability, even though she can get irritated about things, what would that be like when fused with B'Elanna's expressive temperament?
I could see it as like a can of soda that is shaken vigorously, and then you pop the top and it just goes everywhere. My question would be, which Borg implants carry over, or do they all carry over?
I don't know. I was kind of assuming they would all carry over.
So the hand would come over?
With Chalix, I think Neelix's spots would come over, and his, you know, facial hair would come over.
And Chakotay's tattoo.
Yeah, maybe you might have a little salt and, if it were early in Voyager, you might have a little salt and pepper Chalix.
I would like that Chalix. That would be a nice Chalix.
So, but I was thinking with B'Elanna and Seven, and we have to come up with a name, by the way. I guess it's either Selana or Bevan.
Or it could be Slevin.
I don't know which one you like better.
Slevin.
Slevin. Slevin. Sure, Slevin works.
I think there was a movie called Lucky Number Slevin.
Or Slevin.
I can't say.
Or Belevin.
It sounds like celery.
Slevin. Belevin of mine.
It sounds like a small child saying Pischetti. Belevin.
I like Belevin of Nine. I think that's hilarious. That's what I'm running with. Belevin of Nine. Okay. So Belevin of Nine would be like a can of soda that is shaken, not stirred. Got it.
Ba-dum-bum.
But in terms of appearance, you wanted to know about which implants would carry over. I was thinking they would all carry over. So we'd have some cranial ridges from B'Elanna. We'd have the eyepiece.
But I don't know that the hand would carry over. You know, her hand thing. I don't even know what to call it.
Why wouldn't it carry over?
I don't know. I don't see that in my mind, but I guess it would. For some reason in my mind, it doesn't. I'm trying to be cheap on the prosthetics. That's what it is.
One of the most interesting things about Tuvix, I thought, was the fusion, not just of the biology, but of the clothes.
Yes.
The uniform with Neelix's, you know,
flare.
Colorful.
His flare.
Talaxian patterns. Flare, yes. So I guess that would happen too. So with Chalix, we would have Chakotay's uniform mm-hmm. with the red fused with Neelix. And it would have very much like Tuvix's uniform.
Except
I think,
with
but
red.
With red.
Yes.
From Chakotay. Right, exactly. So that's easy to understand. But what would a fusion of B'Elanna's uniform with Seven of Nine's dermoplastic garment look like?
Well, which garment would we be going with? The silver one? The brown one? I prefer the silver myself.
For some reason, I'd pictured the burgundy one just now, but that's completely arbitrary.
Okay. Because the silver looks the nicest to me. It's very eye-catching.
We could go with silver. I'm not committed to this one way or the other.
Especially if B'Elanna ends up with B'Elanna's coloring. That would be very complimentary.
So for lack of a better phrase, it would be something like a dermoplastic Starfleet uniform, but silvery. But still, there'd be some reminiscence of the Starfleet uniform pattern to it.
Yes.
Like the same color pattern, right? So you have the yellow up mm-hmm. top or the gold up top. The black down below, but with a silvery
sheen
to it.
Kind of like disco wear, I'm guessing.
Like it's the 1970s and they're going to a disco.
Where's Chell?
It's John Travolta night on Voyager. Yeah, that's the next track that's queued up in the jukebox on Zefram Cochrane Day.
Saturday Night Fever?
Yes. Actually, that happens on Ancestor Night. Turns out that, lo and behold, John Travolta is one of the crew members' long-lost ancestors.
Can it be Chell's? Chell's long-lost ancestor is John Travolta?
Chell is 1,024th human.
That would be amazing.
And John Travolta's in there somewhere.
And that's why he wears that giant medallion.
You can picture Chell kind of doing the John Travolta dance moves
in
right
the white the suit. Chell has to be in the white suit. I really want to see that now.
We come up with the craziest things on Voyager. I think something that really defines you and me as it relates to Voyager, even more so than when Kay was here, you and I really enjoy weird Voyager.
Yes.
In a way, maybe even more than Kay did. So we keep coming up with these crazy ideas for Voyager because Voyager's already a little weird. I've been rewatching Voyager recently more systematically than I had been. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of weird things in Voyager. And I love that about Voyager.
Well, Janeway even says, you know, weird is part of the job. So she's weird owning it.
Weird is part of the job.
Same she thing with, is owning it.
So if on Voyager, weird is part of the job, then when podcasting about Voyager, weird is equally part of the job.
Yes, that is one of our rules. Must be weird.
Just so, yes, weird is part of the job. So, can you think of anything else interesting about B'Elanna and Seven as a pairing? Or B'Elanna of Nine?
B'Elanna of Nine. There'd be a lot of internal turmoil for B'Elanna, I believe. Whereas we saw Tuvix very centered and accepting of who Tuvix was, and I believe Chalix would be the same way. I don't see B'Leven being as calm and cool about it.
But I think what B'Elanna and Seven both have in common in this regard is they both, for very different reasons, feel the need to suppress some of their emotions. Seven of Nine physically can't feel emotions to a certain degree without damaging her health. So she has to kind of keep herself in even keel mode. And B'Elanna knows that if she lets those inner turmoils bubble to the surface, she's going to break Lieutenant Carey's nose again. So she's got to keep herself reined in too. So I could actually see the fusion of those two different aspects resulting in a very repressed individual in B'Elanna of Nine. Do you think Naomi Wildman would still pal around with B'Elanna of Nine?
Ooh. I think at first she would try to, but then just be so confused by the whole thing that she'd, kind of go her own way.
And what about the relationship with Tom and B'Elanna? It would be Tom and B'Elanna of Nine.
Yeah, that would stop.
That would stop.
that would stop. I could see Tom just being totally kind of weirded out by it, the way Kes was weirded out by Tuvix.
See, I kind of went the other direction in my mind, but maybe you're right.
That Tom wouldn't give a hoot or holler, be like, okay.
No, it would be an adjustment, but I think it's an adjustment he could get used to.
Okay. Well, speaking of how Tom would react to B'Elanna, I have a pairing with Tom. So I was going Tom.
Okay, do tell.
Tom and Neelix.
Well, you keep wanting to bring Neelix back into the picture, don't you?
Yeah, because Neelix can easily mesh with somebody else. And in my mind, each person that I'm bringing in is one that Captain Janeway isn't going to kill. So we get to have this person for the rest of the journey.
Got it. Okay. You're saying Captain Janeway is not emotionally invested in either Tom or Neelix, so she would be okay with Tom.
She might be a little invested in Tom. I mean, just because she served under Admiral Paris, so she'd have a hard time explaining that when she gets back home. But if he's still a good pilot, then I don't see her offing him.
Okay, so it's Tom mm-hmm. and Neelix, which would be
Tomix.
Teelix? Tomix, okay. Tomix. Tomix it is.
Tomix. It sounds like Tom Mix, and then my brain went like, no, he was an actor from early in the 1920s. He did silent movies, westerns.
Westerns, right?
Yeah, westerns.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, I mean, I guess it could be Tom Mix, or Tomix, because that would fit in with Tom's whole 20th century type thing. Why not? Tomix.
So the direction you want to go with this is that you want a character that's going to stick around. So we want to go the other direction than what happened in Tuvix. So we have Tomix driving the ship from here on out and doing duty in the mess hall. Mm-hmm. Where does Tomix work? All the above?
No, I don't see him doing duty in the mess hall. So I could see Tomix being the pilot and the morale officer.
Okay, that makes so much sense, because Tom would also be a really good morale officer.
Exactly.
Serious. If crew member's having a problem, come to Sandrine's, play a little pool, we'll calm you down, it'll be fine.
Or we could go into Neelix's resort program.
Where Tom equally thrives.
Exactly. So this mix could work.
Temperament-wise, absolutely, because mm-hmm. Neelix likes to party.
Yes, yes, he does.
Doesn't show it very often, but put some Klingon women on board or put them in the resort program, and he likes to party. Tom, we know, likes to party as well until he settles down. But yeah, it would be a party every weekend on Voyager with Tomix, sure.
And if it happened early enough, they were both interested in Kes, so there's a no-brainer for
Problem
her.
Problem solved.
She's like, I don't have to choose
and
now.
And you don't think she would be weirded out by this?
Maybe at first. But I don't know. She was kind of into Tom.
She was mm-hmm. actually kind of into Tom for a little while.
So problem solved. Ha ha.
Do you remember in that episode, Parturition, when Neelix and Tom are stranded on the planet and they end up raising this alien baby, but when they beam back, they're buddies now because they've bonded together and they go walking down the corridor arm in arm with Kes? What a weird scene that would be. That's essentially what you're talking about. We have like...
Yes.
Kes is fine either way is what you're saying.
I see that. And then they wouldn't have to have that fight, you know, with the hair pasta. Which leaves me with the question, who had to clean that up? When there's a food fight in the mess hall, who has to clean it up?
Chell.
Man, poor Chell.
I know, Chell's become our whipping boy.
But he also poor gets Chell. To be related to John Travolta, so he's making out pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, only a little bit. 1/1024th of his DNA. Several generations back.
So that was the end of my picks for mixing crew members. Do you still have any left?
I still think with Tomix that we got to get the food element in there somehow. Like, I can picture the helm station having a little place to keep a steaming hot pot of coffee for Captain Janeway right there on the helm.
Oh, so he's got his own Keurig is what you're saying.
Yes, there's a helm Keurig station now instead.
It's built right in. Captain Janeway looks a little sluggish. Here's some espresso.
So it's interesting that you picked Tom and Neelix because one of my picks was actually Tom and Tuvok.
Ooh, that's interesting. What would we call him?
Well, if we had Tom and Tuvok, it would be either Tomok, which sounds kind of Vulcan anyway, or Tuvom. Which do you like better, Tomok or Tuvom?
There's no X in there. I like the X names.
Tomok sounds too much like Tomalak to me.
Tomalak.
So I think Tuvom.
Tuvom. Hmm.
Do we have to use the last name? Would it be Tuvom Paris?
No, that's too many names. You're having a hard enough time remembering the names.
Yeah, I forgot we might actually have to bring the last names into the picture, but let's just go with the first name. So it's Tuvom.
Tuvom. It sounds too much like Tu Wong Fu. Come on, didn't you ever see that movie?
I don't know what that is. No.
Of course you haven't.
I'm sure. Is this another episode of Let's Talk About Another Movie Zach Hasn't Seen?
Tu Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Amazing movie.
I'll add it to the list. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
So I don't think Tom and Tuvok are necessarily antagonistic with each other very much, but they do have different personality traits. Like, Tom likes to have fun in a way that Tuvok doesn't. And that's true of Neelix, too. So I think the Tuvok-Neelix-Tuvix pairing has the same quality as a Tom and Tuvok pairing. Mm-hmm. More or less.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Tom acting Vulcan, though? Like, what would a more Vulcan-like Tom be like? I can understand Tom adding an injection of fun into Tuvok. I get that. We saw that with Tuvix already. But I'm trying to imagine a more Vulcan-like Tom, and that's a little harder to imagine.
Yeah, subdued Tom. That's just weird. Yeah, I can't see that.
So if we're going to have a more Vulcan-like Tom in Tuvom, presumably Tuvom would have to meditate, and he would have to go somewhere to meditate. I'm thinking he wouldn't just go to his quarters to meditate with candles like Tuvok does, or he wouldn't go sit on some rocks on a planet somewhere. He would go in the holodeck and lock himself in his Camaro and meditate with the radio on.
What would be playing on the radio?
Vulcan opera.
Ah! That sounds horrible.
Can you imagine Vulcan opera coming through the car stereo on a Camaro?
No.
It's just wrong.
That is so wrong.
Some things you just don't listen to in a Camaro, and Vulcan opera is not one of them.
Yeah, Klingon opera, yes. Would he be wearing his Vulcan meditation robes, or would he be in Tom's jammies?
Oh, no, definitely Tom's jammies.
Okay. I don't know why I'm so concerned with what everyone is wearing.
But there are a lot of pajamas on Voyager, actually. You know, Tom's jammies aren't all that different from Tuvok's robes. They're different, but they're all very casual.
Yes, because Tuvok had those amazing, like, blue ones that looked like silk.
Right, exactly. So, you know, some hybrid of the two.
Awesome. What actor could we get to play?
Well, it would have to be someone dashing on multiple levels, since Tim Russ is dashing and so is Robbie Duncan McNeil.
So I think I know who could play Tuvom.
Do tell. I want to know.
Actor's name is Michael Ealy.
Yeah, I could see that. I really could.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain why. He, you know what it is? It's the eyes. His eyes.
He's got those.
Sparkle like Tom's
eyes. Like Tom's eyes, yeah.
Yes, he has very, his eyes are very reminiscent of Tom's eyes. Absolutely. I totally see where you're going with this. So in our not quite rewrite of Tuvix, we would cast Michael Ealy as Tuvom.
Yes.
I guess we have the same question about what exactly Tuvom would do, because both Tuvok and Tom are bridge officers. So we have a conundrum, right? One person can't serve at two stations.
It would be a hybrid station. So security slash... What does Tom do? He pilots the ship. I can't think of what that's called, but it would be a hybrid station.
Helmsman.
Thank you.
He's the helmsman.
My brain had left me for a moment.
So would the tactical station move up to the front of the ship, or would...
Yes.
Would Tuvom be a backseat driver and drive from the back of the bridge?
I see Tuvom liking to... would like to sit down and, you know, kind of look out. Instead of looking out over the tops of people's heads, he wants to see the window.
It does seem weird to kind of fire the phasers when you can't see anything. Like, you gotta, you know, peer over everyone to fire the phasers at something. I guess you have a display on the tactical console.
That's why Tuvok is so tall.
So he can see over everyone. You have to have a tall tactic. Worf was tall, too, on the Enterprise-D. So.
Yes, he was.
But if you're the helmsman on Voyager, you can be a low rider and sit in front. So. down low.
Now I have the song Low Rider playing in my head. Thank you.
Lowrider helmsman, yes. Okay, so you're just envisioning a hybrid station. Yes. The tactical station somehow moved forward or the helm moved back, but only one station now.
Yes, only one station.
What would be where the other station was? So let's assume the tactical station moves forward. What would they put there where tactical used to be? The Keurig. Right. That'd be the coffee station, obviously. Neelix would move to the bridge, too.
With a Keurig.
Why on earth do you have to go down to... No, this is a serious question. Why on earth do you have to go downstairs to Deck 2 to the mess hall to get coffee? I mean, I guess they've got replicators in Captain Janeway's ready room. Mm-hmm. You think they would put a coffee station on the bridge on all starships all the time so you could just get coffee while you're on your duty station?
I think that's so when there's a red alert and the ship is, you know, shaking all about... Coffee's not spilling all over consoles.
Sloshing all over the place. Yep. Coffee stains on the wall, stains on the carpet.
On the carpet, everywhere. Because you know who'd have to clean it all up. Chell would have to clean it all up.
Do you remember in Star Trek VI when, it might be in the director's edition, when Michael Dorn's character says, this is not Klingon blood. And he, you know, kind of feels the deck plating or feels the guy's neck, whatever it was. Can't you imagine something like that with the coffee? Like, you see a little splotch of sloshed coffee and B'Elanna walks over and dabs her fingers in it and says, this is not Klingon coffee.
Huh?
This is not a wreckage, you know?
What are you talking about?
What? Have you seen Star Trek VI?
What's the tagline for that?
The Undiscovered Country.
That's the one where they end up in jail, right? On a planet with Iman?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a scene towards the end of Star Trek VI where it turns out someone's not really a Klingon and they get killed and the blood is not really Klingon blood because in Star Trek VI, for some reason, Klingon blood is pink. So he looks at the blood and says, this isn't Klingon blood. It might have been in the director's edition. I think it was, actually. It might have not been in the theater.
Yeah, all part. I remember about that movie is Iman. That's it.
That's the only thing you remember about Star Trek VI.
Well, yeah.
Well, I was making a joke, but now it's not funny anymore.
I'm sorry. I messed up your joke.
Really? really, though, like most workplaces have coffee right there where you need it. Like you're just a short walk to the coffee, right? To the kitchen, to the water cooler, whatever. It's just weird. You have to go downstairs to get coffee on Voyager.
Well, you had to do that in The Next Generation, too.
It's equally weird in The Next Generation.
I just think it's so coffee's not spilling all over the place all willy-nilly when the ship is shaking about.
Oh, but Captain Picard can have his Earl Grey tea on his desk in his ready room and it's okay.
Well, yeah, because all that's on his desk are a couple of pads. I mean, it's not like Worf is sticking his coffee mug on his console and spilling everywhere.
In all of Voyager, we see Captain Janeway drinking coffee on the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. I'm not making this up. Right, that
happens. That's Captain Janeway.
Is it just a captain's privilege thing? Like, only the captain can drink something while on
the bridge, I guess.
You have the same question about the bathroom, of course. Like, when do they take their bathroom breaks? You never see anyone do that either very much.
They have special underwear for that.
I actually really like this idea that there's a 24th century K-cup built into every workstation.
But what would happen when Captain Janeway's breaks? Or she runs out of pods? Does she steal from Chakotay's?
I was just assuming she'd get it fixed. Call down to B'Elanna. Hey, B'Elanna, can you send a maintenance crew up here?
Well, you see how often her replicator is being torn apart.
Well, she's always tearing into her own replicator.
Exactly. Could you see her on the bridge, you know, kind of upside down next to her chair, trying to work on the Keurig? Stupid thing says it needs to be descaled again. I just descaled it.
I guess in reality, drinking coffee on the bridge is kind of a captain's privilege thing, right? You know, run of the junior officers who don't get to have something to drink while they're working.
Yeah.
Okay, so no water cooler coffee station where Tactical used to be. I thought that was a fun idea, though.
No, people would be gossiping there all the time then. Get back to your stations!
You know, I was trying to think of someone we could pair Harry up with, but I couldn't think of anyone interesting to pair Harry up with, honestly. I really tried to think of who we could pair Harry up with, and I couldn't think of anyone. Could you?
No.
Did you try?
I didn't even try.
I was running down the list, like, okay, let's talk about Harry. Oh, I know. Actually, I just thought of it. We could do Harry and Captain Janeway.
How would that work?
I don't know. That's why it's interesting to think about, because it's such a weird idea. How would it work? Because would this individual, we have to come up with a name, would this individual be captain or be an ensign?
Carrie. No, it can't be Carrie. That's Joe Carrie.
I think let's use Janeway's last name.
Okay.
And let's use Harry's first name. It could just be Harry Janeway.
Jerry. It's Jerry.
Jerry. Okay. So let's call the Harry Captain Janeway hybrid Jerry. I love it. So Jerry, would Jerry still be in command of Voyager, or would Jerry be an ensign, or would Jerry be something in the middle, like a senior grade lieutenant?
Jerry would be confused. I'm confused because I...
Jerry would be like, wow, that's one heck of a way to finally get a promotion.
No, because they'd take the pips away. Chakotay would be like, I don't think so.
No. Chakotay's like, this is not happening.
Nope.
Harry, you don't get to play captain. Jerry, you don't get to play captain. It's also kind of interesting that it would be a male-female hybrid, and we haven't talked about one of those yet. I don't know exactly how they would pull that off and what it would look like, but it's different than any of the other hybrids we've come up with. It would be a very confused individual from a command structure standpoint.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think Chakotay would have to step in, and Jerry would not be allowed to sit in the captain's chair. I think
you're
right.
You could see Jerry making a beeline for the chair. But like, Chakotay standing there? No.
Well, Harry does. Harry's like, any chance to sit in the chair, Harry's all over it.
Can I sit in the chair? Can I sit in the chair?
And of course, it's normal to Captain Janeway. So yes, absolutely, Jerry's going to try to sit in the chair. Yeah. For both reasons. But what about other personality traits? Again, I think what's interesting to me is which personality traits would be most visible. What part of Captain Janeway and what part of Harry would be most prominent in this hybrid?
Well, you know, the only thing that I think is prominent in Harry is his complaininess.
It's hard to picture what a whiny Captain Janeway hybrid would be like.
Whiny Jerry.
Whiny Jerry.
With a cup of coffee in their hand.
Cup of coffee in one hand, a clarinet in the other. And I think it would be a matter of micromanaging. Harry's used to working at ops, and Captain Janeway is used to being in command. It's a little bit like the captain wanting to go hang out at ops and micromanage. I don't know. Would it be something like that, where Jerry would be micromanaging himself or herself?
Yeah, I don't know how to handle Jerry.
Themselves?
I don't know where to take Jerry.
Do you think Jerry would take a night shift once in a while, unlike Captain Janeway?
I don't know what they'd do with Jerry.
Round-the-clock captaincy? Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think what would be interesting is to me is this idea that it really is Captain Janeway, but she's not allowed to be in command because it's also Harry. So Chakotay just says, sorry, even though you're part Captain Janeway, Jerry, you don't get to sit in the chair and you get to do something else.
That would be so destructive for the Captain Janeway part that's still in there.
But let's spin this your way. Suppose that this character has to remain and Captain Janeway can't be Captain Janeway anymore. And we now have Jerry.
Oh, no. Chakotay would have killed Jerry.
Let's suppose he doesn't. Let's suppose Jerry sticks around for a while.
Where no, but the whole reason that work? Captain Janeway was, you know, killing off Tuvix is because she was emotionally involved. And you know Chakotay is emotionally involved. So Jerry's got to go.
But, okay, let's suppose that at the end of the episode, Jerry has to go. But even within the episode, they have to figure out what to do with Jerry. So,
this is like, what where about does Bob? Jerry work
even in the episode? Yes.
What about Jerry?
So even in the episode, we have to figure out a place for Jerry to work. If Jerry can't be captain and Jerry is too used to being in charge to be an ensign working at ops, what would Jerry do? I mean, maybe Jerry would go do something like work down in
astrometrics.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, right? Jerry might be a scientist because Captain Janeway is also a scientist. Yes. So maybe Jerry would just go work down in astrometrics.
I could see that.
Or one of the science labs or something. Something where Jerry could still be in charge of something, though. Because we still have Captain Janeway in there.
Definitely go astrometrics, because Harry was also involved in astrometrics. They'd both be somewhat happy in that area.
And Seven of Nine would be down there, so it would be Jerry and Seven of Nine working in astrometrics as the normal staffing in astrometrics.
Yes.
That's an interesting dynamic, actually. Like, what if Seven of Nine had to share her workspace with someone in general, much less a Captain Janeway, Harry Kim hybrid? And how would Jerry deal with having to work with Seven every day down there in astrometrics?
That is a good question.
I think Seven wouldn't like having someone in her workspace right off the bat, no matter who it is.
Oh, obviously.
For more than 5 minutes at a time. And I don't think Jerry would particularly like Seven of Nine's attitude all the time.
The Harry part of Jerry is kind of used to that.
Jerry would help Seven of Nine pick out her candidates for her first date and someone to watch over me. Yeah, I think you're right. There's a reason this didn't make my list, and it's kind of fun to talk about for a moment, but I couldn't actually get a good substantive vision of a Harry Kim Captain Janeway hybrid. But it's one of the weirder pairings, so it's worth mentioning.
It is definitely one of the weirder pairings.
I actually had another Tuvok pairing, though. I had Tuvok and Chakotay.
Oh.
Well, partly because they are antagonistic with each other, right? Chakotay resented the fact that Tuvok had kind of pulled the wool over his eyes back on the Valjean.
Yes.
And Tuvok does not really appreciate having a Maquis being promoted over him. Yeah, you know, he doesn't show it very much, but I think there's...
Yeah, it's stuck in his craw. Yeah.
It's stuck in his Vulcan craw, yes. So if you take these two people that kind of resent each other a little bit, that keep each other at arm's length, kind of like Tuvok and Neelix. They keep each other at arm's length a little bit, even though Neelix tries to warm up to Tuvok, Mr. Vulcan. It's fun to kind of hybridize these two individuals, I think, for that reason, that don't really like having to interact with each other more than they have to.
Well, what is this individual's name?
Yes. So I have two candidates. We have Chekovok or Chakotay.
I kind of like Chekovok. I could see Captain Janeway saying that, Chekovok.
Chekovok.
Chekovok. Although it sounds more like something Russian, so I guess Red would be saying it nowadays instead of Captain
Janeway. Sounds like the composer Shostakovich. Chekovok. So let's go with Chekovok.
Okay.
And now we need to think about what Chekovok would be like. Tuvok with a tattoo.
And a, yeah.
Actually, there's a part of that would work well, because Chakotay likes his Native American meditation and vision quest, and Tuvok likes his Vulcan meditation. And that would mesh remarkably well together. I don't know exactly what they would do. Like, it's the same kind of Tuvok problem we had with Tuvom and Tom, right? Where does Chekovok meditate? What kind of vision quest does a Vulcan go on?
I could see Chekovok meditating in his quarters with the candles and everything like Tuvok would do, yet incorporating the Akuna. He needs a spirit guide. He needs an animal guide. Who is his animal guide?
I think after Tuvok was stranded on that planet with all the spiders and gravity, that Chekovok's spirit guide would be a spider.
But that was his dinner. That's really going to be his animal guide?
It's not nice to eat your spirit guide.
No. They kind of frown on that.
Klingons would do that. If Klingons had spirit animals, they would kill their spirit animals and eat them.
Well, didn't B'Elanna try and kill hers?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Absolutely.
I guess his wouldn't be a fur fly.
No, presumably not. Although, you know, you never know, right?
You never know.
Your spirit animal finds you. Maybe a Talaxian fur fly really did want to be Chekovok's spirit animal, and A led to B, and one thing led to another.
Oh, that's funny.
It's not like you get to choose your spirit animal. Your spirit animal chooses you, right?
It chooses you. I think that would be another thing for Chekovok to, like, really be aggravated with Neelix about. It's like, because of you, I ended up with a fur fly.
If you hadn't come on board, I wouldn't have a fur fly as my spirit animal, darn it.
Exactly. Well, talking about obscure animal guides isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
I'd like to see a starship where the chief medical officer is a Tellarite and see his bedside manner.
I'll see your crappy Lewis Zimmerman hologram amalgamation and raise you a Tellarite doctor. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The 602 Club.
This is such an incredible beachhead in terms of what they do with what we've come to expect now with, like, the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy or resurrecting Peter Cushing.
Warp 5.
We share about 50% of our DNA with a banana, so I think we're a bit closer to reptiles than 50%, but still.
So what you're saying is it's possible to have an intelligent banana.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that.
50% banana.
To the journey!
Bullions don't have a lot of hair.
That we know of. So, I mean, we've never seen a shirtless bullion, have we?
Not that I can recall, unless it would be in sick bay or something like that, but I can't recall an incident of a shirtless bullion.
How do you know that they're not hairy chested?
I kind of love the idea that, like, from the neck down, they're covered in hair, but they're bald on top.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, we would love to hear your thoughts on today's show. There are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation with us is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. Well, Suzanne, when you're not busy becoming one with Commander Chakotay, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can occasionally find me popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJanway8. And Zachary, when you're not meditating in a Camaro listening to Vulcan opera, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrex, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there. And you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details on patreon.com/trekfm.
There are a few people from around the network that we would like to thank. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, and the spirit animal for all of us. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and a shout out to our five associate producers here on Tooth the Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Well, join us next time when Zachary and I try and outfit our duty stations with a Keurigs. But until then, this has been To the Journey.